mother or not, if you've been a mothering influence in someone's life, then you qualify today. We celebrate all women today in our church. I'm so happy you all are with us today. I'm Pastor David Branson. If you're a first-time visitor with us today, I welcome you on behalf of our congregation. And I'm so glad that you're here to worship with us today. A reminder to fill out your connect cards in the bulletin. Please drop that in the offering plate as it comes around this morning and update your information. We'd like to keep our database up to date with your phone numbers and addresses and things like that for emails, of course. So be sure to drop that in the offering plate this morning with any messages or prayer requests, special prayer requests if you would like to bring to my attention. Our healing and communion service will kick off again. We're through Lent and the Easter season, but now we're back to our regular scheduled services. And this Wednesday at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we have a healing and communion service, and I encourage you all to come out and be a part of that. We share in Holy Communion together, a reading of Scripture, and just a quiet time of meditation and prayer for the needs in our lives. So I encourage you to come out and be a part of that as well. And following that service at 7 o'clock, we're beginning our new Bible study for the next 6 weeks. It's Moses in the Footsteps of the Reluctant Prophet. And for that, I can certainly attest that I was a reluctant follower that God called into ministry. So that's going to be very appropriate in my life, and I'm sure yours as well. So come out at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening after the healing and communion service. We'll begin our new Bible study this summer. Yesterday, we had the women's tea. I want to thank everyone that came out for that yesterday and those that put that on for us. It was a very good program, and I didn't know what the program was until I got there, which even made it even better. But the little library boxes that you see all over town, and how many do they have now? I mean, how many? 68 out now. Well, we volunteered to have one here on our property. She said there is one right over here on the lake. If you go right straight across from the church, there's a little library there. And it's free books. You take a book, bring a book, however that works. And we're going to maintain that here on the church property. But it was a very good speaker we had yesterday. And we collected 126 books yesterday for that as well. About 50 people. So thank you all for bringing books. And if you have extra books, I think now we have a place where we can donate them. So bring them to the church, and we'll try to designate an area for that as well, and we'll donate that to the Lake Worth Library. They can put those in the little library boxes. So thank you all for everyone that had a part in that yesterday. I'm ready to worship the Lord. Are you?
Amen.
Let's now prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
cornerstone. Come to rest on the foundation of God's love. Come to be strengthened and renewed in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me? Shine your face upon us, O God. Help us see your face in one another and hear your voice in the words that are spoken. Through your grace, make us holy, that we may offer spiritual sacrifices that honor and glorify your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Protect me from trouble. The other one is from Isaiah 43:19. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Let us prepare now and praise the Lord.
And there was one piece of cake left. And my mother hid it up in the top
the cabinet for later. So they had to look for the cards, and my dad is in the kitchen rummaging through the cabinets looking for the cards. He finds the cards, they go back, and they play their pinochle. After everybody went home, my mom went back to the cabinet, opened the cabinet, looking for a cake. Well, there's no cake up there. My dad says, "What are you looking for?" "I put a piece of cake up here so I can have a piece." "Oh, I ate that while we were looking for the cards." Moms have to sacrifice a lot, not only for their children, but for my dad, who acted like a child most of the time. A few other things. We don't do this very often, but you used to get bottles of soda, right? Well, how are you going to open it? Really don't need this much anymore, but you know what? It comes in handy. Now this is in my wife's purse, and I never saw this in my mom's purse. What's that? No. Viva Peru. We've got Spanish people here, right? I heard them laugh. Viva Peru. Right? Every Spanish person has this in their purse. I bet. Marie, you got some of this in your purse, Marie?
Not in my purse.
Not in your purse, but you got some at home, right? They put this on everything. You got a hangnail, it's going on there. In our house, it was mercury chrome. My grandma would put that on everything. What if you ever needed a Dutch paper? You never know when you got to cut some things up. You know, you might have to cut some things down to size. So you got scissors. Who likes the dark when they're sleeping? I don't really like it totally dark. Do you like it dark, Ben? You like it dark? Well, if we were traveling anywhere, my mom would have a backlight on. Moms think everything, don't they? This could take all day. This could be our message. Need a little change? I didn't have a little change purse, but you got some change in there, right? I want to buy something in a gumball machine for $4. You've got some change in there. You know, we're always stressed out. Have a stress ball. You know, you're traveling and you need some stress release. This could go on forever, couldn't it? You ever look in your mom's purse and need a piece of gum? You got gum? About measuring up. Need to measure something? You can measure it up. 31 inches, by the way. I have a lot more things in here that could take a long time. Look, you need to open a letter? Letter opener. You know, you're out there trying to find your keys in the car, got a flashlight. Need a flashlight, don't you? Now, your girls are starting to carry purses. Does this look familiar to anything you might have in your purse? Huh? Yes, are you starting to collect these things? I think that's a mothering instinct. Look here. Got a cross. Look, Miss Robin carries her cross. Look at her cross. That's a big cross, though. This is a little cross. How about a Bible? And you know, that's something I bet we don't always think about. Even the men say, "You know, I wonder if I should carry my Bible with me today." The point of all of this is, anything else good in here I should check? Well, you know what? This is something I would carry because I use this for crab legs. If you ever have crab legs and you don't have a cracker, you're a big one. See what I got in there? And my mom doesn't like crab legs. I bet she wouldn't actually have it in there for herself. Okay, what does all this mean? Moms are pretty cool, aren't they? How many times in our lives have we needed something? And mom, they get a big old heavy purse. And I'm not kidding you, that thing can weigh 10 pounds. Mom said, "Well, my shoulder hurts." I said, "Get that
You're carrying more bricks in there, something. God compares women
to help with other folks, right?
That's what we're celebrating in Mother's Day today. A mother isn't necessarily someone that's given birth to someone. I have a lot of mothers.
It's funny, because a lot of women are always telling me what to do. I've got thousands of mothers. Women in our lives that love us, nurture us, and cherish us are our mothers, right? And that's what we're here to celebrate today. Is the women in our lives who nurture us and love us. We have a lot of those in this church, don't we? And all over the place. We sure do. So today we're remembering mothers. And that big duffel bag that they carry around to have everything that we might need. So I want us to remember and glorify and cherish our mothers today, right? Let's pray. Gracious God, thank you so much for the mothers in our lives. It's not just about them bossing us around. It's about them loving us and nurturing us and cherishing us. So Father, today I pray for these young people to recognize the mothers in their lives. Father, we love you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. You know, men are starting to carry curses, aren't they? That's a bad idea. Mothers cherish us and nurture us and care for us. They pray for us. All of us should be praying for one another. And today we cherish the mothers that have influenced us, who care for us and wipe our noses, who have bandaged our knees, the ones that have taken care of us and love us. And we're celebrating all of you today as well. And a list of concerns today I would like to lift up before you. Lifting up Beverly Niebuhr this morning, health concerns. She spent a day at JFK and then came home the next day, so I don't know if they really have anything specific. She's on IV. But just continue to pray for Beverly. Eleanor Dosh, Bernice O'Hanson's sister, had a fall, but she's doing better, right, Bernice?
Yeah, she's in
rehab.
Right now.
So continue to pray for Eleanor as she continues to get well. Linda Friend as well. She's had some testing, but I understand through Ken that she's doing better. They're not here today, are they? But continue to pray for Linda Friend. Larry Koopsman as well. Larry, it's good to have you back in church. I think he's missed about 4 weeks with stomach issues, so continue to pray for Larry. Audra Miller as well. Audra, I spoke to her on the phone this week. She still has a pleasant, joyful voice about her. But just continue to pray for her. She's in hospice care. Mary Hanna as well on the passing of Stan. She left yesterday to go up to New York to make arrangements. She did tell me that we'll have a service, a celebration of life service here when she gets back. So she'll be gone a couple of weeks for that. But just keep Mary and her family in your prayers as well. The family of Jim Chenoweth, a friend of ours whose funeral was yesterday, who passed away last week as well, just for their family. We're praying for a healing of a relationship with a sister. Praise from Benny that his son Michael is starting a new job, a smooth transition and relocating to Virginia. So we'll lift him up, Benny and Michael. Lorena Lee Shute is having kidney surgery on Monday. David Shute lifting his sister up. Sherry Shipley has been taken to St. Mary's after being thrown from a horse this morning. Friend of Mo Walsh. I imagine Mo is that at the hospital with her today, so Sherry Shipley. And those of us who have had bad relationships with our mothers, and for those of us who could not have children. So that's a painful reminder today as well. Let's take our joys and concerns to the Lord this morning. Gracious and loving God, I thank you for the beautiful women in our lives. Father, whatever stage of our lives they come into it, Father, we are blessed by these relationships. Father, let our eyes be open to the possibility and the availability of all of us to be parents to those around us, to guide them, nurture them, and love them. Father, we thank you for all these women. Father, today can be a sad time for many. We remember and recognize that as well. Father, we celebrate today the Savior that seeks a relationship with each one of us. Father, we are lost without you. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to mend relationships and to make us whole again. Father, those we lifted by name today for illness and injury and sickness and end of life, Father, we know and trust that as a people of hope and a resurrection people and an Easter people, Father, we know that someday you will call each one of us home. So, Father, we ask you to bless us today. Father, we lift up those we love and care about. We lift up the stranger we meet on the street. Father, I pray this morning specifically for those unchurched in our own communities. Father, people right outside of our doors that have not begun a relationship with you. So, Father, today I pray for a hurting world. I pray for governments in turmoil. I pray for warring countries. I pray for leaders who like to do provocative and unnecessary warnings to others. Father, we love you. Father, sometimes we ask, why is this going on? But Father, you are preparing us for even a greater glory. For that, we must be grateful. So, Father, today, as we worship, as we praise, as we remember, Father, I ask that your blessings would flow here for you today. So, Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving as we pray together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we do forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
our offerings and gifts so that others may know the loving foundation we have found in Jesus Christ. Would the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
celebrating faith today. The faith of a mother. Our scripture today comes from 1 Kings. Maybe a little bit of an obscure story for some of you. We're looking at faith today, the faith of a mother. For the reading of God's word, please stand if you're able. We're in 1 Kings 17, verses 8 through 17. Hear these words. The Lord's word came to Elijah, "Get up and go to Zarephath, near Sidon, and stay there. I have ordered a widow there to take care of you." Elijah left and went to Zarephath. As he came to the town gate, he saw a widow collecting sticks. He called out to her, "Please get a little water for me in this cup so I can drink." She went to get some water. He then said to her, "Please get me a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any food, only a handful of flour in a jar and a bit of oil in a bottle. Look at me. I'm collecting two sticks so that I can make some food for myself and for my son. We'll eat the last of the food and then die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go and do what you said. Only make a little loaf of bread for me first. Then bring it to me. You can make something for yourself and your son after that. This is what Israel's God, the Lord, says. The jar of flour won't decrease, and the bottle of oil won't run out until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." The widow went and did what Elijah said. So the widow, Elijah, and the widow's household ate for many days. The jar of flour didn't decrease, nor did the bottle of oil run out, just as the Lord spoke through Elijah. After these things, the son of the widow, who was the matriarch of the household, became ill. His sickness got steadily worse until he wasn't breathing anymore. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Father God, thank you so much for these words through Elijah. Father, I ask that today we would have the faith of this mother. We pray in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So today on Mother's Day, we're looking at a woman of faith. Her faith led her to say, "I'll collect a couple of sticks, make a little bread, my son and I will eat it and die." Did she have true faith that she would die after eating this little scrap of food that was left? This woman in this story does not start out as a woman of faith, does she? She thought her resources were soon to be gone and that her and her son would die. What do you think about your faith? Is it something that's just there? Where did your faith come from? Where did this woman's faith come from in those short few interactions with Elijah? Her faith grew in leaps and bounds in just a few short seconds. So we're going to look at that today. To set the backdrop of where we're at today, this land had been in a drought. Elijah told the people, "The rains will stay away. You will be in drought." This place that he was sent, Kereth Ravith, was a small tributary of the River Jordan. The Lord tells him to go there. Today, it's in the state of Lebanon. Now this guy Elijah, he's been around, he's suffered, he's had some ups and downs in his life. And we're going to look at his faith today as well. A
Elijah had been alone for many days, an extended period of time. He hadn't had contact with other people. And the Lord God speaks to him and says, go to Zarephath, which, by the way, means fiery trial in their language. And it depicts perfectly the situation Elijah finds himself in. He's wandering around lost as well. He needs a drink of water. He needs a bite of food. God calls him out of the frying pan in the fire. And Elijah went. And you notice in this scripture that God doesn't give Elijah a lot to work with, does he? He says, take off walking over to this place known as a fiery trial, and I'll take care of everything. Elijah gets up and sets off on this journey. Now, God said, there will be someone there to take care of your needs. Did he give Elijah a name of this woman? God said, I've called ahead. McDonald's is going to stay over the lake for you. He had nothing more than God's nudging, saying, get up and go. A week or two ago, I talked about the disciples. When Jesus called them out, all Jesus said was, follow me. And they got up and left their comfortable or maybe somewhat uncomfortable lives and followed Jesus. God was doing this back in Elijah's time as well. God told Elijah, get up, go to this place of fiery trial, and I'll take care of everything. Who here would do that? It'd be a lonely journey for me, huh? Yeah, sure, I'd get up and just... Maria, can you go with me?
Yeah.
Anyone from the choir go with me? A few of you would. You know what? We wouldn't have company on the road. Our faith is what leads us into the unknown. Why else would we go? This woman's faith said, I'll make my last little dab of bread. My son and I will eat it, we'll die. Boy, now that's a positive outlook on life, isn't it? So when God calls us into the unknown, is it always comfortable for us? Absolutely not. It's very uncomfortable for me, as a matter of fact. There's times in my life when I say, God, I want to do something different. I don't want it to be easy. God doesn't always give us the easy stuff, does he? So Elijah left, didn't have much direction, just says, go over here. And you see a woman about some water and bread. And Elijah trusted God to do that. You remember Jonah? God didn't give Jonah a lot of details about his predicament either, did he? Because Jonah would turn tail and run if he knew what was facing him, wouldn't he? Jonah was a runner. Elijah is given an assignment by God, and Elijah gets up and goes. In the same regard, Jonah is given an assignment, and he gets up, and what's he do? He runs away. So God said, okay, I won't tell him until he gets there. Is God like that with you? Just let him get there, and I'll reveal to them what I have in store for them. God doesn't always give us the details. I don't know about you, but the longer I grow in my faith, the less details I need. I'm willing to just go. Doesn't always make sense to me, and I often question God. Where are we going? He says, trust me. I'll let you know when we get there. Why does God do that with us? The truth of that is that if we have the details in advance, then we wouldn't be walking in faith, would we? Because we could make a decision whether or not to go.
If we have the details in advance, we probably wouldn't go. Because we like the comfortable. We like the easy. So Elijah walks alone in faith with very few details to the fiery trial. You know what's even more amazing about this? He walks into town at the gate, and here's a woman standing there picking up sticks. Do you think Elijah said, well, I wonder who this woman is. Is she a criminal? Is she evil? Is she mean? God told Elijah, go to the city gate and someone will be there. And so there she was. She was where she needed to be. Now, do you think God woke her up out of bed that day and said, listen, woman, you're going to die today. Go out and get a couple of sticks. Make here a nice little small loaf of bread for you and your son, a sip of water, and then I want you to die. That was her story, wasn't it? God didn't give her the details either, did he? He said, go and prepare your last meal. This is it. That's what she thought. And the flour never ran out. The oil never ran out. And after many, many days and weeks, it doesn't give us an exact number, they'd been in the drought for 3.5 years. It had rained for 3.5 years. And the oil and the flour held out until it started to rain. The drought was broken. And she made that last loaf of bread and gave it to Elijah. Did you notice in this story as well, Elijah, through God, said, bring me the first loaf. Now she knew that little dab of flour was only enough for not even enough for her and her son. But her faith started growing at that moment that said, let me feed Elijah first. And that's what Elijah said. Feed me first, and then go back and make plenty for you and your son. And she only had that little one. Now, does that take some faith? Does that take some trust? Can you imagine what she thought? Maybe that little loaf of bread, that little dab of flour and oil. She takes it out and gives it to Elijah. And he said, okay, go back and make some for yourself. She's got nothing but some powder left. And she goes back and it lasted for weeks until the rains came. So not only did she get up that morning and say, God, this is... Well, she was a pagan. She didn't really believe in God. Who was this woman? Where did she get the faith? First of all, she must have... God gave her a nudge to say, trust this man, this stranger at the gate. Trust him. I don't know about you, but I'm getting better at this, but when I used to meet new people, you know what? Meeting churchy people makes this a lot easier, because I'm assuming you're good right off the bat. Is that a good assumption to make? I don't know. Sometimes it gets me in trouble, but not any time. But out in my own life in the world, when people would approach me or I would have dealings with people, I was sort of leery. I'd been burnt before. I had been burnt before by the world. So I had a tendency to stand back and watch you for a little bit and see where you're coming from. This woman trusted Elijah. Elijah got to the gate, and here was this woman. Front and center. He didn't have to look her up in the phone book. She was there. God put her there for a purpose. We don't know who this woman was. Do you notice that we never even learn her name? She was insignificant in their society. She was a widow. In their tradition, if a woman lost her husband, someone in the family would marry her to provide for her, a brother. She had no one. She was living outside the bounds of society in many ways. We don't know who she was. No family to take care of her. Not only low social standings, no social standing. She had no one. In her weakness, she was made strong. Remember Paul, his letter to the Corinthian church? He says, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This woman was totally weak and defenseless. And she was a strong woman of faith. You see what they're pointing out here in our scripture today? This woman had extreme faith in the end. She trusted. I don't really know why. She didn't know what was going to happen. But Elijah and God touched her heart. And her life, can you safely say her life was never the same again after that? What do we say about Christians? When they accept Jesus Christ, then you can't be the same. You can't. It's impossible. Or you're not sincere if you go back to an old life. You can't do that. You can't not be changed. And this woman experienced that as well. So now a lesson in this scripture. I have no purpose. I have no spiritual gifts. I am nothing. God can't use me for anything. I have no ability to serve the kingdom of God. How many times do you think I hear that? Or how many times do I experience that with people when I say, where have you found to serve God? Oh, I can't do anything. I've got a little dab of flour and some oil. I'm going to eat that and die. You know, many of us get up every morning thinking it's hopeless. There's nothing I can do to further the kingdom of God. There's nothing I can do to reach out to someone else. I'm done. I'm used up. I'm washed up. And you're down to your little smidgen of flour and a few drops of oil in the bottle. And you allow God to not use you and enjoy your last little bite of bread and die. Because that's what God is saying here. We have an opportunity to serve others. I keep going back to what I say when I get frustrated. Don't come to church. Don't call yourself a Christian if what you say is, I'm going to go to church today. What can the church do for me? I'm a sponge. Come and take care of me. Or do you come to church and say, what can I do for the church? When you say, what can I do for the church? It's not for me. It's not for Lakeside United Methodist Church. It's what are you doing for the kingdom of God? Folks, me included, many times feel like we're not doing anything for God. We will be blessed beyond measure as this woman was. Gone long in this message, but if you heard the last bit of that, the woman's son gets sick and dies. So God says, okay, trust me all the way up to this point. Now I'm going to kill your son. God didn't say that, but the boy dies, didn't he? What did Elijah do? He took him up to his bed in his upstairs room. And he laid over the boy three times and begged God to give the boy his life back. Three times. Now some more details of that story. Why would a mother, after saying, I'm going to do what you tell me to do, and God's going to bless me for that, and my son dies. Congratulations, your son has just died. How does that fulfill her truth and her faith? The truth of God. And what's Elijah do when he goes upstairs? He says, God, what are you doing? What have you done here? I've done everything you said. And now the boy dies? What's going on here? But what Elijah didn't do was end there, did he? He said, God, give this boy his life back. Three times he pleads with God. And what happens?
Comes back to life.
The boy lives. Why is that story in the Bible? Why did they put that in here? Because I know plenty of parents that their babies didn't come back to life. Do you? I know a lot of parents who have suffered the loss of a child. I hope your faith, if that's happened in your family, has brought you through that fiery trial. There's plenty of times our loved ones die and we're not ready. God says, I'm ready for them to be with me. It's not easy to give them up, is it? But God takes them. God takes them home. Folks, we've got to believe that God says, well done, good and faithful servant. We went to a funeral yesterday of an 83-year-old man. He lived a long life. They were literally standing room only there, and person after person got up and spoke about his whole life was dedicated to, if nothing else, to be nice to people and to help people. Literally thousands of kids went through, hundreds I should say, I would venture to say thousands of lives that these folks touched. And he was still doing it towards the end of his life. And he says, well, leave him here a little longer. Let him continue this good work. But you know what? It was time for Jim to go. But what happens when Jim went? Someone needs to fill the gap, huh? Stand in the gap. Can that be one of us? That's one of my best analogies for being a Christian, standing in the gap. There's plenty of gaps in the world, isn't there? Where can we span the gap to Christ? That's what Elijah was doing here. That's what this woman did here. This mother. We're celebrating women today. We're celebrating the fact that she trusted and believed through Elijah. God spoke through Elijah. Everything's going to be okay. And it was. I'm going to close up here. God does never ask us to do things outside of our abilities. Do you believe that? This woman didn't have much, but the little that she had, God worked through the ordinary space of her life. That's what I mean. You have something to give to the kingdom. God will use you with what you have. He will not ask you to go out and start a new church. He may not ask you to go around the world and be a missionary to the lost people of the far reaches of the earth. But what he might ask you to do is to make a little loaf of bread and to give it to a stranger. He's only going to ask you to do what you're able to do. That's why you shouldn't be afraid when you get asked by God, not just by the pastor. Because sometimes the pastor may want you to do things that you're not able to do.
worst response a pastor, and I say this lovingly and jokingly, when you ask someone to do something and they'll say, "Oh, I don't know, let me pray about it." In a week you call them back, "Well, I'm still praying." So far it doesn't happen. 6 months, still praying about that. I don't know, well, that's pretty scary. At what point do I honor that? You know, some of you would face me in that thing. You know, "Oh, I didn't even do this. Oh, wait a minute, let me think about it." Because chances are, like this woman, when Elijah shows up at the gate, you're ready to say yes when the opportunity arises. Don't say no. Sometimes we have to seek discernment, and that is absolutely true. But a lot of times, you're going to know through a nudge from God to say yes immediately. Say yes immediately. Because you know you've been stirred to action. That God has touched you in a way that you can use your gifts to serve others. Now, if you're a good like me and can talk God out of things, good luck. I thought I was doing pretty good for a few years, and then he just wouldn't leave me alone. When God taps on the door, be ready to say yes. Be ready to say yes. Let's pray. I got a lot more than I think this time. Let's pray. Gracious God, the story of this woman, a woman that had nothing, but her faith and her trust in God led her to do things in her ordinary life that changed the lives of those around her. Father, I pray today that we would be bold enough to see when we need to say yes and not be afraid. Elijah's words to her at the very beginning were, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You can do this. Don't be afraid." So, Father, bless us now. Thank you for the message of Elijah and this widow woman, this mother, who goes unrecognized other than for her faith. We thank you for that example in our lives today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please stand for our closing hymn, "His Eye is on the Sparrow."
I should have.
watching over you. When he gives you something to do, say yes. Receive this benediction. Father God, as we leave this place, I pray your blessing upon us, on our comings and our goings. Father, we love you. We seek your guidance in our life. And we trust you, Lord. And we trust and we'll say yes. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.